Today, we will read Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. Before we begin, let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts today. Lord, I believe the Bible is your word. It is your message to us. So God, we want to hear your voice today. We want to hear what you would have to say to us. We want to know how we should live, what we should do, and how you would like to use us in the world around us. Lord, just guide us and direct us, and help us to listen and obey. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 9, 1 through 17. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "Ah, this fellow is blaspheming!" Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God, who had given such authority to man. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means: I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered, "How can guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." In today's reading, we see primarily three different stories. Let's begin with the first one. In the first story, we pick up after Jesus leaves healing the demon-possessed men. He comes back, and comes back to his own hometown. And here, several men bring a friend of theirs to him who is sick. This man is paralyzed. And Jesus tells the man that your sins are forgiven. Now, suddenly, people who are listening become very offended by this, and they say, "Oh, this is blasphemy." What does that mean? Well, it means that Jesus is claiming to do something that is something that only God can do. And when they are accusing him of blasphemy, they are accusing him of doing something that lowers who God is, or possibly of claiming to be God. And so this is a very serious thing. But Jesus doesn't say, "No, no, no, you misunderstand." Instead, Jesus says, "Why are you so upset? Why are you thinking these thoughts? Which is easier? Is it easier to say that your sins are forgiven, or to say, 'Get up and walk'?" It's one thing to say your sins are forgiven, because nobody else can see if that happens. That's between a man and God. But it's something different to say to a paralyzed man, get up and walk. So then Jesus says, so that all may see that I have the authority to forgive sins, I say to you, get up and walk, and go home. And the man did. Jesus healed his outward disease. He couldn't walk, and Jesus healed him. And he did that to show those around him that Jesus had the authority to forgive sins. Now, everyone was shocked, and they praised God that suddenly here was someone, a person, who had the authority to forgive sins. Now, the question is, did God give away his authority? And I say no. God did not suddenly say, oh, here is a great man, I will give him the authority and the right to forgive sins for me. No. Instead, this is one of the proofs that Jesus is who he claims to be, that Jesus actually is the Son of God, or that Jesus is actually God himself, who has come to live in the flesh. Because only God has the authority and the right to forgive sins. And so Jesus, to demonstrate that he has that right, he both forgives the man's sins, then he heals him to show them a physical sign that they can physically see, so that they can see outward healing, but that's also combined with inward healing. This man's sins had been forgiven. The things that had separated him from God were taken away. And Jesus had the authority to do this. And he still has that authority today. When we do wrong, we can go before Jesus, ask him to forgive us, and we receive the forgiveness of God. We are made right with God. Our relationship is healed through Jesus. And all the things that he did, all his time on earth, demonstrates and shows that to us. So this is a very important story. And it's a story that I think really teaches us more about who Jesus is, that he has the authority to forgive sins, but that authority is God's alone. It doesn't belong to anyone else. And that helps me know and confirms for me that Jesus truly is God who became a man to live among us. Moving on, we see the calling of Matthew. Now, Matthew is actually the one who wrote this book. So we see this, and this is his story, that Jesus came and he saw Matthew sitting in his tax collector's booth. Now, it helps to understand the context and the history and the society where Jesus lived. The tax collectors were not liked by the people. In fact, the people hated them. They were considered to be just about the lowest people you could get to. Why is that? Well, it's because many of them were very, very dishonest. And we see that with other stories about tax collectors. That many of them were dishonest. The government would say, oh, you must collect this much tax from each person. If they don't pay it, they will be thrown in jail. Well, the tax collectors go, and they add on a little bit. And so you truthfully only owe the government, let's say, $10. The tax collector goes and says, oh, you have to pay $50. If you don't pay this money, you will be thrown in jail. And so, well, what can you do? You don't have anyone that you can go to. You have to pay it. And so you pay this man your money. He keeps part. He gives the government what you actually owe. And so many of the people found the tax collectors to be very, very unliked people. They saw them as dishonest, as cheats, as thieves, and many of them were. But Jesus called Matthew a tax collector. And when he goes and spends time with Matthew's friends and the other tax collectors, the Pharisees are shocked. They're like, who is this? What is Jesus doing? Why is he hanging around all these bad people? And Jesus responds that he didn't come for those who are healthy. He came for the sick. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinners. So what does this mean? Well, Jesus didn't avoid the bad people. Now, he didn't do what they did. He did not allow the bad people to control him. He didn't follow their example. But at the same time, he didn't avoid them, like most people did. He didn't stay away from them because he knew that they needed God. Jesus knew that these dishonest people, what they truly need is God. Now, some of them will follow God, some of them will not. But rather than avoid them, rather than hate them, Jesus showed them love. He showed them mercy. He showed them compassion. And many of them followed him. Later in the Bible, we see stories of a tax collector who actually followed Jesus, and as part of following Jesus, he paid back everything that he had stolen. All the dishonest money that he had collected from people, he went and paid it back. And so we see Jesus reaching out to those that most people would reject. God loves you, no matter what you have done. Here, the tax collectors were some of the, and the sinners, they were people that most of Jesus' fellow, just the people in his society, they would have just ignored them. They would have stayed away from them. They were the social rejects. They were considered to be bad people. But Jesus loved them in the same way Jesus loves you, no matter what you've done. Even if you've done things that everybody else would say, oh, such a horrible person. Jesus is there to forgive. And just as we saw in the previous story, he has come to forgive. He has come to heal those whose soul is sick, whose soul is separated from God. Jesus came to offer healing, to heal our relationship with God so that we can experience God's love, so that we can experience God's mercy. And so the calling of Matthew, again, is a demonstration of Jesus offering forgiveness, the very forgiveness of God. The last section talks about fasting, and I'll spend just a little bit of time on this, that many people were looking at his followers and saying, oh, why aren't they fasting? They were asking, why aren't they doing outward signs of their religious devotion? That many people during his time would have openly fasted. In front of everybody, they would have said, oh, I am not eating food today. Look how righteous and holy and I am. I am giving up food so that God will be happy with me, so that I can pray to God. Jesus says that they don't need, that they're not fasting at this time because the bridegroom is with them. He compares himself to a groom at a wedding. And right now, he's there. Jesus was with his followers. They didn't need to fast at the time. A time would come later where they would fast, where they would go without food in order to pray and seek God. But at the time, God himself had come to them. He was right there with them. It was a time to celebrate and rejoice that the God of the universe had come down to us. And not only that the God of the universe had come to us, but that he cared about us. That he cared about those who were sick and he healed them. He cared about those who were sinful and he forgave them and helped them
find a way of life that was right and true and pure. Remember back to the sermon that they preached in chapters 5, 6, and 7. He wasn't saying, oh, do whatever you want. No, he was saying you need a new heart. And so when he spends time with the sinners, when he spends time and forgives sin, it's not so that they can go out and continue to do bad things, but instead so that they can experience the love of God and a new heart can be born in them. And we'll learn more about that as we go through the New Testament. But today, have you experienced the forgiveness of God? Have you forgiven others? Is there someone that you need to forgive? Someone that has hurt you? Are you holding it against them? Kind of like the religious leaders were holding against the tax collectors, what they had done. Let it go. Forgive those who have wronged you. Because God is ready to forgive you. Come to God. Turn from your sin. Ask His forgiveness. And ask Him to give you a new heart. And to help you turn from sin. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would just help us today. Show us things that we need to come before you and confess. And say, Lord, I've done this thing that's wrong. Help me change. Lord, you are the one who changes us. Lord, you offer forgiveness for sins, where my relationship with God can be restored through you. So help us see the areas in our life that have separated us from you, and help us turn from those. Lord, help us see who you really are, and understand what that means in our lives. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.